Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
All right, Drew, come on, man. I got 3:30 sharp. There we go.
Hit it.
Bang. Consider it hit. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. Amy's dancing.
Are or we
dancing
try to. What's going on? I'm Amy Scott. Oh, I'm in for Kimberly Adams today. Thanks to everyone for joining us on the YouTube live stream and on the podcast or wherever you're joining us for Economics on Tap.
We're going to do a little news, then we're going to do a little half full, half empty, and then we will move on about our day. Amy Scott, what are you drinking, if anything?
I am drinking. I'm about to. It's a little Columbia Valley Chardonnay, because I'm feeling fancy, and honestly, that's all we had in the fridge. So, cheers. How about you?
Cheers. So, as we were talking about before we turned the microphones on, I'm doing a blind beer this afternoon. So, I've gotten many an email from the people who represent Firestone Brewery. Which is a brewery here in California. And they said, hey, we've got a new beer coming out. It's called Hopnosis IPA.
Oh,
and I was like, yeah. And,
you know, except for the hops part.
Yeah. But I was in the supermarket today buying some scallions because I'm making chicken salad for dinner, but that's a whole different thing. And I need some scallions. And I saw a can of Hopnosis IPA. So it looks like that. I like Firestone as a brewery. Their Union Jack IPA is great. So I'm going to have a little slurp of this one and we'll see how it goes. Oh, that's quite nice. Very good. Very good. Of course,
the
it
tall,
is like,
skinny,
you know, 97,000 degrees.
Is that a newish beer thing?
So that's a newish thing. It's a newish beer thing. They sell you the singles, right? I don't like them much because by the end, it's a little too much, I think. I don't know. It's all right. Whatever. I'll drink it, right? I'll drink it.
I feel like it's a seltzer thing.
Yeah, actually, it might be.
Right?
Actually,
looks
it might
like
be.
The hard seltzer cans.
Just for the record, the beer case in my local Piggly Wiggly is being taken over by the hard seltzers. And I had been told that hard seltzers were on the decline. I mean, Sam Adams Brewery, seriously, they wrote down like a chunk of change because they had so much hard White Claw in their inventory that they had to write it down because they couldn't sell it.
They're certainly all right, so on the decline in my household.
Well, there you go, if it was ever there, which it shouldn't have been.
Good point.
Scott. Okay. So let's do some news. Yours is actual. Mine is not. So you go first.
All right. I'll do it. So this is a little bit wonky. I've got two items today. One is a little more weedy. The other's just kind of related.
It's all good.
Yeah. So as you know, the housing market has taken a decided turn.
Yes.
Sales are down. Building is slowing as mortgage rates go up and down and back up again. But anyway, there was an interesting story in Bloomberg today about mortgage lenders, because we're starting to see the first lenders go out of business as a result of the shift in the market.
Oh, man. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's no good.
And what's interesting to me about this is that there are a lot more what are called independent or non-bank lenders in the market this time around.
Yeah.
After the housing market crash that we lived through and reported on in the financial crisis, banks really pulled back their mortgage lending. And it took a long time to recover. And that made room for independent lenders like Quicken and PennyMac and Loan Depot, all these names that are advertising all over the place. And the problem with that, or I guess the risk, is that banks are required to have a lot more capital to cover losses. They have a lot of other business like deposits to keep them afloat. They have emergency programs from the Fed that they can tap into if they run into trouble. Non-bank lenders don't have those resources and they tend to be more thinly capitalized. They have less of that, you know, reserve to absorb losses. So they're more vulnerable in a situation like we're in now, where suddenly loans that they made at lower interest rates aren't as valuable. That's what happened with a company called First Guarantee, which failed after making loans that then dropped in value before it could package them and sell them to investors. And then the company had trouble making new loans at these higher rates. That company filed for bankruptcy, and then another company called Sprout Mortgage said it was shutting down last month. And, you know, a couple caveats here. These were lenders that specialized in riskier loans that aren't backed by Fannie and Freddie, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And overall, the mortgage market is just way healthier than it was in, you know, 2006, 7, and 8.
Yeah,
predicting anything like,
Yeah.
This is not like super worrying, but the story does suggest that we could see more failures and certainly a lot of layoffs in the mortgage industry, just as, you know, refis and applications for new loans dry up. So that's number one.
Yeah. Let's just interject here for a second. Wait, because as soon as you said mortgage lenders start going bankrupt or going out of business, my mind, just because I've been doing this for a long time, flashes back to Countrywide Financial in the beginning of the financial crisis, 2007, 2008, and mortgage lenders, they're going bankrupt. And it's really important to point out, as you did, this is not that. This is not that.
It's really different. But mortgage lenders have had a really good run the last several years. So this it is significant that, you know, the market has changed. And, of course, there's going to be pain. On a related note, I saw a really interesting chart today from John Burns, who's a real estate consultant I follow on Twitter. And it showed that 73% of outstanding mortgages right now have a rate lower than 4%. So the vast majority of people with a mortgage right now are paying less than 4%. The current is, I think, 5.13 for a 30-year fixed.
Yep.
And so that means a couple of things. One, it shows why there are just not a lot of people right now who want to refinance a mortgage and why these companies are losing business. But it also gets to something that we've talked about before, which is that a lot of current homeowners just don't have a lot of incentive to move, right? If you've got a really low rate and you don't have to move, like, why would you? Because you're going to suddenly pay a ton more. And with what's happened with home prices, it's just, you know, unaffordable. So the chart has this caption saying this creates a powerful incentive to, quote, trade up in place, which is a term I have not heard before.
What does that mean?
Which basically means stay in your house and remodel. So if you want to trade up your house, you got to improve the existing one, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Huh. That's fascinating. Yeah, I think, you know, housing is one of those things that deceptively contributes to the cost of living in this country, the general sense of wealth, and the idea that, you know, American dream and all that. And its fate is going to have a lot to do with where this economy goes in the next 18 months to 2 years, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. Because this week, the home builders said we're in a housing recession. So...
Right.
You know, that is a big part of the economy. And for a lot of people, it's the biggest expense.
Yeah, totally.
So what
Adam
you got?
Adam Fierst says on YouTube, he says, trade up, Kai, and add air conditioning to the shed. Yeah, I hear you, Adam. I hear you. It's a whole long
saga. But how are we going to pay for it? Everything's so expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's so expensive, right? And there's a waiting list. Okay, so when we started this podcast, I had one news item. Now I have two. Ta-da! You can do anything you want on the podcast.
How did that happen? You weren't listening to me.
Cut and paste. I totally was. And in point of fact, I had an extremely relevant rejoinder to what you had to say, Amy Scott. So
touche. Anyway. That's only because you're such a
pro. That's
right.
Come on. Okay. So I don't know if you heard the podcast the other day, but I had a little bit of a rant about the news and the.
Oh, Bridget, yeah.
You can beep this if you want to. And the crap and the BS and the back and forth and the beating of subjects to death and this and that. So I don't have news. I have, wow, that's an interesting story news that I will just commend to people's attention and give it a read. We'll put it on the show page. The first, and this happened, I think, while I was gone, but somehow I saw it and it just was wild. A couple of weeks ago, maybe 10 days, whatever. Four people were struck by lightning in Lafayette Square, right across from the White House. Three of them died. One of them lived. I'm sure, Amy, you saw this, right?
Yes, I
did.
I mean,
you're like in that neighborhood. Yeah, okay. So three of them died. One of them lived. The one who lived is a 28-year-old woman whose name I am absolutely going to butcher here, but I'm going to try to do it. Her name is Amber Escudo Contostatis. She was hit and lived. Her heart stopped twice, once for 12 minutes. The nurses and the EMTs on the ground said that the lower half of her body was completely gray and the rest of it was kind of blue. But she survived. There's a piece in the New York Times today fundamentally about what that does to you. To be dead, to have other people have died over the same incident, and you're alive. It's wild. So give that a read. It's one of those expand the mind stories that just sort of registered with me. And the other one, I will claim my Viking heritage here and point out that the Norwegians have done something very interesting. So there was a walrus named Freya who was in the Oslo Harbor frolicking around. And apparently she got too frolicky and too close to humans and too used to human interaction. And it appears that the Norwegian equivalent of the Fish and Wildlife Service killed her.
I saw that.
Here's the lead to the story in the Times today. It was another good day for Freya, the 1,300-pound walrus named for the Norse god of love, of love, beauty, and war, who had become a beloved and feel-good international media sensation, the frolicking mascot of the long Oslo summer. On August the 13th, the Fish and Wildlife Service, under cover of darkness, basically offed her. And it's now a national scandal in Norway. It's really sort of an emotional little story, and I just... read that one, too, about the walrus. That's what I got.
Poor Freya. I mean, couldn't they have, helicoptered her somewhere else like they do with polar bears in Churchill, Manitoba? She's a risk to others. Yeah.
Not only did they kill her, euthanize is probably the kinder word, but apparently they used, I swear to God, special walrus bullets. They cut her up and turned it into gel and all kinds of gross stuff. Anyway, read that. It's just kind of a wild little story, but it's not anything that's stupid in the news. It doesn't have the word Trump in it or cable news or affidavit or search warrant.
Kai, you're getting really philosophical. Should we be concerned?
I'm so done with all the crap, and I need to find a way to. I need to find an outlet to that. Maybe this podcast is it.
This is right.
I don't know.
Yeah, and that lightning story. I mean, what I took away from that. Her gratitude for the nurses who saved her life and her kind of vow to live a good life for all the people who didn't survive. It was very, very moving.
Yeah.
So, read that
also,
one.
Read that one. Do not hide under a tree in a lightning storm, just for the record. Do not do that.
Oh, my God. I'm terrified of lightning.
Yep. Oh, are you really?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Colorado.
Oh,
I was telling Drew.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
During soccer practice.
Drew, who also grew up in Colorado.
Yes. During soccer practice, the lightning storms were so frequent there. Our hair would have to literally be standing up on end before the coach let us go sit in the car with our parents.
Oh, that could have ended so badly.
I have a healthy fear of lightning.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Indeed.
Yeah,
I mean, and it
do.
Would. My hair would be standing straight up. So I have a healthy respect for lightning. And it's only gotten worse.
As well we all should. Healthy respect for nature. All right. Shall we, Drew?
Absolutely.
Colorado, Drew?
Yeah. How about a game?
All right. The game is half full, half empty. Drew Jostedt is Johnny on the spot. Let's go.
Okay. Next year, Dodge is going to stop making the Charger and the Challenger. Are you half full or half empty on this being the twilight of the muscle car?
Oh.
You know, it's so interesting because the day after I saw that story, I saw another story about an electrified version of some muscle car. I forget what it was. And a whole story about how they are audio engineering that car to sound like a muscle car, even though it's not going to make any noise. So they're getting rid of the gas-powered versions of the Challenger and the Charger. They may bring them back electrified. They may not. Look, handwriting is on the wall, right? All those cars got to go. And look, you're talking to a guy whose very first car was a 1972 Cutlass convertible 442, and it got like a mile to the gallon. So it's got to go. Got to go. Seriously.
Yep. They're cool, but we can't do that anymore. We just can't.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
So yeah, half full, I guess.
Ooh, Gene Hobbs points out, and I saw, half sad. Gene Hobbs points out in the YouTube comments, excuse me, they are making the Plymouth Roadrunner, which is true. Sorry, I caught some bug when I was gone. COVID negative, by the way. They're like re-bringing back all kinds of weirdo little cars. But anyway, let's go.
The Roadrunner. Never heard of that one.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay,
I think I'm not the target demographic for these cars. Sorry,
no,
dude.
You're probably not. You're probably
go ahead.
I have also not heard of a Roadrunner.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better.
Some companies are moving up their cost of living adjustments or even offering things like gas cards. Are you half full or half empty on creative inflation compensation?
I'm half full, I guess. I mean, obviously, everyone would rather have a raise, probably. Just give us the money. But, you know, at least they're doing something. If it defrays the costs, then... you know, go for it.
Yeah, I agree. I would urge people to fight for it to the extent that they can, raises as opposed to one-time bonuses or gas cards, just because raises are there forever and bonuses are one time. But yeah. Yep.
Are you half full or half empty on store brands?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, well, there must have been some news about this that I missed.
There was a great Kristen Schwab feature on what are now called private labels, right? I don't know if you remember back when you and I were growing up, but they were called generics, right? That's no longer...
And they were black and white, at least in my grocery store.
They were literally black and white. That's right. They were literally black and white. Now they're called private label, and it's like Costco's Kirkland and Whole Foods 365. Look, whatever consumers can do to get whatever they want for cheaper, yes, let's do that. Half full.
Yeah, although when I was a kid, I was definitely half empty because I was embarrassed when I brought the generic Kleenex to school and everybody else had like Puffs Plus or whatever, you know? Now I wish I could go tell that kid, like, get over it.
I hear you, sister. Puffs Plus.
But yeah, now I'm half full for sure because I'm the one paying for it.
Yeah, sorry, super quick story. I was on a ferry from Buenos Aires to... Colonia de San Francisco in Colonia de Sacramento or San Francisco, I forget, over in Uruguay. Anyway, the opposite coast. And they had, for some reason, for business reasons, they had a duty-free shop on this ferry that went internationally. And it's an hour-long ferry ride, and I'm killing time and blah, blah, blah. So I'm wandering around, and I go through the duty-free shop. And in the duty-free shop are Kirkland brand huge bags of M&Ms and cashew peanuts and all kinds of weird stuff. Kirkland, of course, is the Costco brand. It was the weirdest thing. I was like, how the hell did this get down to Argentina? It was wild. Wild.
Do you think it's a black market or do they actually have a business down there? That's so interesting.
They must have some distribution deal, right? Because while there are many black markets in Argentina, up to and including for their currency, I don't think the ferry system is running that, but what the hell do I know? Anyway.
Okay. Half full or half empty on automatic college admissions.
Whoa. Automatic.
So this is a story that Stephanie Hughes did for Marketplace this week about how some schools are doing away with the rigmarole of actual college application processes, the essays and the recommendations and the thises and the thats, which, as you will discover in due time, Amy Scott, is a flapping nightmare. And just looking at grades and maybe test scores and saying, yeah, you're in or no, you're not. And look, it's as long as we can do the regression analysis and correct and control for race, income, and gender, I'm all in favor of it, right? Because the process now is just the application process now is just not only is it broken, it's just stupid, truly.
Yeah, I'm going to have to think about this. You know, I covered higher education.
You did education for
a
long time.
And it's obviously, it's a highly subjective process, which leaves it vulnerable to all kinds of bias.
Right.
But algorithms aren't necessarily any better. Well, they're better at some things and not better at other things. So I feel like there are some potential problems there in a student trying to stand out who maybe doesn't have the scores and the grades and the, you know, usual privileges that accrue to getting into college. But I don't know. I think it's interesting. What's the I pass version of this game?
you
I haven't decided.
Once again, this is our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I have no opinion. Oh, my goodness. Next, please.
Okay, so alcoholic beverage tax revenue in Japan is declining, and the National Tax Agency is trying to encourage young people to drink more.
I saw this.
Are you
I did. I heard it. I heard it on Morning with David, I think, this week. Yeah, it's wild.
Oh,
you're like, wait, really? You want to do that? Yeah.
Oh, well, as I drink my wine here, I'm going to say I'm half empty on this. I mean, I've heard that, you know, in previous times, a certain Japanese, you know, business culture was like overfueled by alcohol.
Sure.
And, you know, it's got its health risks. So I don't know if anybody should be encouraging people to drink more. Maybe they find another source of revenue. Cheers.
I think that's right. I think cheers. That's right. I think vice is not necessarily a great source of revenue when you're going to the younger audience. Let's just leave it there. Holy cow. Holy cow. No, we do not have one more. Just as I'm asking you, Drew goes, nope.
Good timing.
Pushing the button. Boom. We are done for today on a Friday. Kimberly and I are back next week. We're doing a Tuesday deep dive on campaign finance, the money that is sloshing around this election season, which, by the way, we're like 90, maybe 87 something days out from the midterm, so help us God. We'll talk federal races, but also, look, there's money in local races too, and the money that controls judicial elections and school districts and mayors and city councils and all that stuff, that's all real, and it matters. So tune in for that one Tuesday.
So in the meantime, please keep sending us your thoughts and questions. And I don't know, are you guys doing something on DACA? If you're a DACA
recipient? We already did, actually. We already did. But look, if you have
a DACA
story, we'd love to hear it.
This is like an old
shout-out. It's an old shout-out.
If you have thoughts about money and politics.
Let's do two things. One, if you've got thoughts on money and politics, let's take care of that. But also, if you're a DACA recipient, let us know what you're doing, because we'll do a Tuesday mailbag, and we'll put that in there. No worries.
All right. Yes. You know what? Send us any thoughts you have, including that you don't want this host back on Friday. You can email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a voice message. We are at 508-827-6278. That is 508, letter U, letter B, smart.
Letter U, letter B. How about just UB? Oh, I guess that's smart, actually, right?
Because those are words.
Yes.
It's too many numbers.
As I was saying, Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad. The senior producer, most of the time, is Bridget Bodner.
And the team behind our Friday game is Stephen Bion, Mel Rosenberg, and Emily McCune, with theme music written by Drew Jostad. And the director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
My goodness.
It's getting sweaty in here.
Right. I gotta get the hell out of this shit. Can I just say that?
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.